I don't normally do the spiel at the end. I think most members already know the approach to these committees. Obviously, P for proposing, S for seconding, and Q for questions. We would ask that the public would refrain from using the instant messaging. And if that's not followed, the warning would be issued and the member would be asked to leave. Obviously, I'd ask members just to keep to the P, the S and the Qs, because if you're typing messages into the chat, it is hard to follow, and a member may be missed in the order that it should be. So I would urge all members to refrain from making any comments in the instant messaging other than those three letters. Okay, folks, we'll kick off. So any apologies, Sarah?
Apology from Councillor Dorn.
Okay. Any further apologies that need to be recorded, members? Nope.
Councillor Hugh Gallagher.
Councillor Gallagher, thanks, Pete. All right, folks. Item two then is declarations of interest. Any from members or officers? Nope. Okay. Perfect. Item three is the action sheets. As per usual, we'll go through it page by page. Page one, page two, page three, and page four. Just need a proposer and seconder for the action sheets. And then I can take in the questions that members have. Proposed by Councillor Murray and seconded by Councillor Lewis. Councillor Brown, you've a question?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Just on the industrial action, I know that I raised this to full council as well, but I want to raise it again just to ask for an update on that as to whether it's still with legal and when councillors can expect to be briefed on the substance of the deal that was reached. I personally find it quite concerning that the action sheet clearly details there how councillors were kept abreast of developments and indeed were asked to ratify certain developments in principle when the dispute was ongoing, and now that an agreement has been reached, suddenly councillors are rather in the dark regarding what is happening. So I would ask management to try and give us some indication of exactly when councillors will be briefed on the deal that was reached.
Okay. Tarina, are you okay to take that?
Yeah. I can confirm that we are still in a legal process. We do hope to be in a position to brief councillors in the forthcoming weeks.
Okay. Thanks, Trina. Councillor Lewis?
Thank you. It's just page two there. I see that it's making reference to this Centenary Fund. I'm just wanting to thank all of the officers who had an input to that, and to ask, is there any leeway is being considered as to how this money can be spent in terms of different groups maybe getting it to hold talks or history events and stuff with just recently seen there that the lockdowns in some sort of fashion may continue on, fortunately, at the start of next year. It's just to see, would there be that leeway there if for some unforeseen circumstance that lockdown did continue and that there was a limit on the amount of people who can meet, would that be able to be extended, that a group who does apply for that this year could then just hold their event at a later date?
I'm looking to see. I think that would be the program team. I think we've lost Tarina.
Apologies, have you got me, Gareth?
Yes, yeah, can I hear you, Tarina, yeah.
Sorry, my computer shut down, so I've transferred to my phone here, so I didn't hear the question.
It's in reference to the Centenary Fund and leeway that Councillor Lewis was asking, that obviously if there was plans to have talks and given the restrictions that are in place, if they continue and the event can't happen, will there be some leeway? Is that correct, Councillor Lewis, in summary? Yeah, it is. He's nodding at me.
I think we can certainly consider that, absolutely. Yeah, we'll pick that up should that happen.
Okay. Yeah, and obviously, Councillor Lewis, the financial assistance call for that has opened as part of the current theme and closes on the 8th of March. So hopefully no impact. Okay. Councillor Murray, you have a question?
Well, just on the same issue as Councillor Lewis, so to thank everyone. I see the call has opened. The call has opened, and I've been in touch with a couple of community groups in South Armagh who certainly intend applying for that, and we're hoping to host online panel forum discussions. You know, so yes. For Councillor Lewis, that might be a prudent way to go about it and to plan for the year ahead, you know.
Yeah. Thanks, Barr. Councillor Savage?
Can you hear me, sir?
Yep, can hear
you. Yeah, it's in relation to, I think, page 2 there, in relation to the Public Health Authority and the letter to the Minister in relation to the drive-in facility that we'd asked for in relation to the testing facility. First of all, was the letter sent and was there a response? If I missed it, I apologise. I know there's an issue for later on the agenda in committee, so I don't want to interfere with any of that, but this is in relation to the correspondence with the Minister. And also maybe, Tarina and Maria, if I could raise with you, there have been approaches made, I believe, to the Public Health Authority from local organisations such as Newry Gateway to offer their buildings, if possible, if required, for public vaccination sessions going forward. And I'm just wondering, have we had any engagement with the Public Health Authority in relation to working with community groups who want to make their buildings available, or organisations like the Gateway, or have we been in discussions in relation to making any of our own public assets available for the likes of vaccination sessions? I know the Lakeland one in ABC has been used. So really, it was just really to get an update on where we are with what the Minister's view was in relation to the drive-in facility at Albert Basin, and also what discussions, if any, has there been with the Public Health Authority or the Department of Health in relation to making buildings available for vaccinations as we try to roll them out in the near, not too distant future. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, Michael. Are you okay with that, Tarina?
Yeah. So I can confirm that we did. We sent a letter the day after SPNR, and Marie was in a call as well with the PHA the next day. I'm not aware of any response, Sarah, Sarah's shaking her head, so we haven't received any formal response on that, Michael.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of then discussions around using our facilities, I know that Michael Lipsett and Marie Ward met with a regional representative from a GP collective. We're trying to, you know, talk about using our facilities, and we met with them. The last I heard, Michael, and I can get you more of an update, is that coordinated approach that the GPs were trying to do hadn't quite worked out. But certainly we have made it known to the PHA and to the GPs in both the South Eastern Trust area and the Southern Trust area that we're very willing to help out if required and to make our buildings available as much as we can. So, you know, we're in discussions, but as yet there have been no formal, you know, requirements to use facilities. So we'll keep those conversations and those lines of communication open. We are regularly in contact with the PHA.
Yeah, so, Doreena, could that be an issue maybe for the sort of action sheet going forward? And, you know, because obviously this is going to be a very fluid environment over the next coming, you know, number of months, that we could get an update if and when it happens.
Okay, yep.
I'm just conscious of the fact that, you know, this will be a challenge over the coming months as more vaccine becomes available, and we're dealing with other mutations of it as well. That obviously I'm glad to hear that those discussions have taken place, and I'm hopeful now that if required we'll step up and provide the buildings that are needed to facilitate this. But I'm disappointed we haven't had a response from the minister. I know he has a heavy workload, but I think his private office could have given an opinion one way or the other, or engaged with Public Health Authority before they come back to us. But thanks for that response. Thank you.
I see Colin has his hand up there. So
thank you, Chair. Just by way of information, I can confirm that Newry Leisure Centre was used earlier this week for some vaccinations. There was a request from Clanry GP practice, and that was a one-off just to use our centre, and they took and they controlled the building for testing. I think it was Tuesday. I couldn't confirm the day. I was on another call with a member from the Leisure Centre at the time, and they confirmed that it was being used for vaccination on that day, but it's a one-off request. Thank you, Chair.
All right, thanks, Colin. Barra, see, you're back in with another question.
Yeah, and again, it's just, I know that a lot of people around South Armagh have been away down to Craigavon to get the vaccination, that age group 65 to 69. And I would imagine, like, I'm no expert on it, but I would imagine that the Health Minister is looking at these areas in terms of trusts, and that he's looking at Craigavon as being the, as so often Daisy Hill has missed out to Craigavon in terms of the hospital and that, and it seems in this instance where Newry was probably preparing the leisure centre for a rollout of mass vaccination, and instead the Health Minister or whoever has decided to go with Craigavon. And I know that it's been very successful. Anyone I've spoken to who's been down in Craigavon getting vaccinated in the past week have said that it's ample parking. It's in and out, it's well controlled, and it's going well. I take Michael Savage's point, it would be absolutely fantastic if people just had to run into Newry, but the most important thing is that people are getting vaccinated, and if they've tipped down to Craigavon or wherever they're going from south down, well be it, you know.
Okay, thanks, Bart. Okay, folks, I don't say on indicating otherwise, so happy to move on then to item 4, which is the notice of motion, and Councillor McKevitt's with us.
Thank you very much, Gareth, and can I thank you first of all for the invitation to present this motion tonight. It was read and heard at the Equality Good Relations meeting, and at that I amended the motion with the group that was there, and because Judge Desmond Marnion's recommendations were heard and printed, and that the recommendation they include as a protected category specifically mentioned misogynist and a growing issue, and which the campaign for Raise Your Voice for Happy and Satisfied with for now. But in that, we are to write to the Department of Justice and Naomi Long and ask them how this works out in practical terms, and that the Council supports the Raise Your Voice campaign. So I would be supporting the officer's recommendation in that. But the Raise Your Voice campaign is a project and is designed to tackle sexual harassment in Northern Ireland. And suppose, as I said in the equality meeting, I've been an elected representative from 2005, and I've never experienced anything onto the terms. My door's not open, whoever that is. onto the terms. I've lost my train of thought now, sorry.
I've been elected, yes,
and I've never experienced any rudeness or anything from any of my colleagues, and my hand of friendship has always been out to the elected representatives that work with me, and I think as a team together we can work stronger, and I did express that at the Equality Relations, and I'd like to thank Barra and David Taylor for their lovely remarks on the motion as well. It got good council support. It was great, but just in the times that we're in it, when to me ceilings have been, I suppose the glass ceilings have been broken, particularly with the like of the Vice President from America being a woman, but we look no further than our own front door and the management team here and the amount of women, and us were councillors. I remember when I first was elected onto Newry Mourne Council, there was 4 in the whole chamber, but have great admiration for the like of Josephine O'Hare, who sat in the chamber many a time on her own before that. So, you know, at a time that, particularly with the notice of motion that came through council a short time ago, where we're trying to encourage women into politics and all of that, I think a motion like this, at this strength, and to show us our that we can raise our voices and be heard as women is very, very important. And I think that will help strengthen the women's group that has been set up currently within the council. But I'd just like to say, you know, we did have a great chat about the on the Quality Committee, and that all parties support the motion. It's very, very encouraging, particularly as women in politics. So I'll thank the officers, especially Colin and Suzanne, for all the work that they've put into the motion and to the information that was provided to the councillors before the motion was heard, on the like of the report from the judge, etc. And it was quite a lengthy one. So I'd like to thank the officers for that as well. So other than that, Chairperson, I'm absolutely delighted that the support right across the council chamber on this. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Councillor McKevin. It's a really worthwhile motion. Regina, is there anything within the report that you would like to highlight to members just before I bring in any questions? Just in case you're on mute, Regina.
I apologise, Chairman. Sorry.
You're all right.
Just the recommendations, Mr. Chairman, that Council give consideration and agree to the following, that the Council write to the Minister of Justice for Northern Ireland highlighting the Council's support of the motion and the Raise Your Voice campaign, and that Council to raise awareness of the Raise Your Voice campaign through placing posters in Council properties, training for elected members, and the DEA coordinator to focus on support the Raise Your Voice campaign. That's all, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Thanks, Regina. Kelly McGillan.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Yes, as a party, we'll be fully supporting this motion, but we're slightly confused in the overall stance of the SDLP on this. A similar motion was brought onto the campaign Raise Your Voice before the Mid-Ulster Council, challenging misogyny and transmisogyny and asking for it to be categorised as a hate crime. And the SDLP originally supported the motion, but then went on to support an amendment to the motion, which in effect reduced the motion to being worthless, taking out the main aspect of it, that misogyny should be made a hate crime. This stance in Mid-Ulster became even more surprising, given that the SDLP had supported and even proposed similar motions in other council areas like the one we have tonight. These inconsistencies in the overall approach on this issue sends out all the wrong signals to the victims of misogyny and transmisogyny. What makes it even more confusing is that there was widespread coverage in the media of the vile abuse directed at women in public life, with the SDLP's Executive Minister, Nicola Mallon, recounting her own horrific experiences of misogyny. We in Sinn Féin would just like some clarity from the SDLP on this issue. Why fully support misogyny and transmisogyny becoming a hate crime in some councils and not in others? Surely there should be one overall party line on such a serious issue. Without supporting motion amendments on a whim, this amendment in Mid-Ulster Council should have been challenged and not agreed to. There is no doubt that life and women's rights have been vastly improved over the last few decades, but there is a long way to go to create a cultural shift to stop sexual harassment, sexual violence and misogyny against women, and indeed in many cases against young girls. I am sure every female in this meeting has been referred to in a derogatory manner during their tenure as an elected rep or even as a council official, be it online or in person. Misogyny does not just impact on us women who choose to participate in public life to represent our views and the views of our constituents. It affects every woman and girl in society and can have a devastating impact on their self-esteem, self-worth, confidence and their life decisions thereafter. There is a misconception of misogyny that it is mainly men being misogynistic towards women, but misogyny comes in many forms. Even women can be misogynistic, which in many cases comes down to some sort of jealousy or grudge. This motion is not about attacking anyone. It is more about fairness and equality for women in public life without suffering from vile, undermining abuse from any quarter. No one deserves to suffer from discrimination in any form whilst actively standing up for the people they represent. It is an issue that needs to be addressed fairly, and heavier penalties issued for those people who are deemed to be misogynistic or trans-misogynistic. In general, we fully support this motion. but we just would like some clarity on the SDLP's overall stance on this issue, given what has happened in other councils. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Councillor McGuinness. And obviously, as chair of the committee, I am to be neutral, so I'm sure some of my party colleagues can certainly make our opinions and our party's views very clear on this. But I would also add that given Councillor McKevitt's motion and the Newry Morning Downs SAPL group, I think we're clearly showing what our view and stance is on this. And as you said yourself, Minister Mallon, who is an SDLP minister as part of the executive, has also shared her views, and that would certainly be shared. I'm not here to speak on behalf of Mid-Ulster representatives, but I'm sure my party colleagues will look at that and review what has happened and ask our party to review that and reaffirm our stance on it. So, sure. Yep, thank you. Councillor Brown?
Yes, thanks, Chair. You actually beat me to it. I was going to stick up for the SDLP there and say I think it's pretty clear from the fact that Councillor McKevitt is a member of the SDLP and bringing this motion that the party is clearly well behind it, and I would thank her for bringing the motion. It's very important, and it has our party's full support. I believe our grouping in Lisburn Castlereagh Council actually brought a similar motion a number of months ago. So we're obviously fully behind it as a party as well, and I'm sure that the Justice Minister will be more than happy to look at it when it comes across her desk. So thanks again, Councillor McKevitt, and has our full support.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Brown. Okay, any further questions, members? Councillor Lewis?
Thank you. Yeah, no, I just want to say that it's obviously an election year, but anyway, I would just like to thank Karen McKevitt for bringing this motion. It's vitally important, and it is one that has raised its head over this past number of years. We see it from different councillors and MLAs, and indeed any woman in public life that there is an unwarranted amount of attention. I know from our own party that when my colleague Councillor Jill McCauley stood, that she actually put her phone number on to the leaflets, and some of the messages and the phone calls that she was getting were absolutely abhorrent. And it doesn't matter if you're a male, female, or whatever, that sort of abuse is just not on. So I'm just wanting to offer our full support there as well. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Councillor Lewis. Councillor Byrne?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Just a note to say that I'm slightly disappointed in some of the words that I heard from the Sinn Féin rep on the motion. It's clear from the SDLP group and in the discussion that we had in Equality and Good Relations, quite a lengthy and very, very good discussion on what is a very, very important topic. And I think to reduce that to attack any party on it takes a serious bit of acrobatics. The councillor had said herself that in the Mid-Ulster Council that the council group, the SDLP group, had initially supported it and then supported an amendment. You know, we can't throw bits of information out there without saying that the support for the motion did not carry. Did it have to be amended? What was the amendment? And I mean, there's certain things we don't play politics with, and this is certainly one of them. So I'm quite disappointed that that angle was taken. But as another councillor said, here we're in an election year, so it may be like this for the next 12 months. But the SDLP has no issue and nothing to clarify on supporting anything to stamp out misogyny and trans-misogyny.
Okay, thanks. My team's cut out there for 1 minute and then I came back in. So I got most of that, Councillor Byrne. Apologies that I didn't get it all. Don't know what just happened. I don't want us to get into a tit-for-tat debate here, but Councillor McGuinness, so you're looking back in.
No, there'll be no tit-for-tat, Councillor Sharvin. No, I'm just looking clarity on the issue in regards to the party stance on it. Like, why accept an amendment from the DUP on that motion in regards to it becoming a hate crime, and then bring a motion to another council asking for it to be raised as a hate crime. That's the only clarity I'm looking.
Yeah. Okay. And obviously, it's good to see the DUP of Newry Morne and Down fully supporting the motion and recommendations as well. So, okay, folks. I didn't hear any proposers or seconders of the officer's recommendations unless some of the Councillor Byrne stated at the point I was cut off, but did Councillor Byrne propose it whenever I was cut off? Sorry. I see Councillor Brown seconding it. I don't know if we've lost Sarah or... Okay, right.
We didn't have a proposal, but we do now.
Oh, yes, because they would have proposer and seconder now. Okay. Everyone's in agreement? Yep. Okay, perfect. Thanks very much, Karen. Next one is item 5, and it's the Government of Ireland Act, and Councillor Murray.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. And this is a motion that I tried to bring to Council in January, put it in before Christmas, and it was referred to the Good Relations Forum. I obviously had issue with that. That's been clarified. I'm happy enough with that. I've spoken with the Chair on that. It went to the Good Relations Forum, and we had a good discussion about it. It's a very important issue for everybody in every party, and we all had a chance to have a discussion on it. I tried to speak as clearly as possible to say that nobody should be threatened by a motion like this coming to our council. The behind this motion is the effort to find a space for us to have conversation about looking at our past and dealing with our past and how our past can influence our future. So that's where it was at, and it went to the Good Relations Forum, and so I'd never sat on the Good Relations Forum before, so it was, as soon as I brought it, other councillors had said, well, sure, this is the forum that we should speak on it at. I made it clear that I'm more than happy with that, and it was made a suggestion and proposed at the Good Relations Forum that the item would stay on the agenda throughout the rest of the year at the Good Relations Forum. So I'm happy to propose the officer's recommendation, and that the Good Relations Forum should be the forum which motions like this on dealing with our past and looking to the future should be discussed at. So happy to propose the officer's recommendations, Cormagaf.
All right, thanks, Barr. Is there anything, Regina, to cover?
No, Mr. Chairman, again, it's recommended, the recommendation from the report is that the Council give consideration and agree to the Equality and Good Relations Reference Group being the vehicle for discussion of the issues raised within the notice of motion, and that this be included as a standing item on the agenda for future meetings of the Councillors Equality and Good Relations Reference Group.
Okay,
Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Thanks, Regina. And I see Councillor Murphy second. Councillor Walker, you have a question?
Chair, yes, and just following on from the Good Relations Forum, I don't mind it being kept on the agenda, but as I said at the Good Relations Forum, the context of this motion, I don't have a problem discussing referendums, whatever, and that, but I made it clear that the power with the referendum will lie with the Secretary of State in that, and when that time comes, our party will be fully engaged in relation to it. I don't think at council level here at the minute is the place and the time. Yes, when the Secretary of State calls the referendum, yes, let's have that debate then, you know. So the context of it there, I don't have a problem with it staying on the agenda and that, but, you know, the views of our party is that 99% of that motion, we would not be supporting it.
Okay. Thanks very much, Councillor Walker. And I suppose as part of the group, it's an opportunity to discuss your concerns and work through those and see if there is a compromise in moving forward. But Councillor Murray, you're looking back in there.
Just to be absolutely clear with Billy and everyone else, the motion called for space for debate. That's what it called for. It called for space for debate. It didn't call for... this wasn't Barra O'Murray or the Sinn Féin group calling for a unity referendum. That's not what it was. It was calling for space for debate, which was teased out at the Good Relations Forum, and we're happy that that space for debate has now been created. That's all it is. No need to panic, anyone.
All right, folks. Thank you. So, proposer and seconder for the officer's recommendations. Everyone's in agreement? Yep. All right, perfect. Moving on then to item 6, which is the notice of motion for the Northern Mutual, and that's Councillor Brown.
Yes, thank you, Chair. I appreciate we've got a long agenda, so I'll take the motion as read and try and be as quick as possible to facilitate an efficient meeting. So I'll not go into too much detail here. The motion's already pretty wordy, and the officer's report also adds some useful context, and then thank you, Ken, for pulling that together. So mutual banking is an alternative approach to banking as we know it, moving away from the privatised system that exists now and towards a more democratised system that gives each of us a say in how our money can be used for our benefit and for the benefit of our region. This motion ties into our council's general strategy around community wealth building, which council I feel has slowly been embracing through things like participatory budgeting sessions and motions on social value in procurement, which have been brought recently. However, much more does need to be done, and supporting the Northern Mutual Bank is a clear action that we can take to indicate our support for the cooperative banking sector and community wealth building more generally. This initiative has been championed by NICFA, Advice NI, and in particular the campaign for the Northern Mutual Bank's co-founders, Dr. Bridget Meehan and Tiziana O'Hare. If successful, the best course of action would be to reach out to the campaign founders to join their advisory group as a first step, which is listed there as the first bullet point in the motion, and then work with the advisory group to progress the other actions, the other bullet points there. The final action for the council to invest money in the bank and become a client, I feel could probably be taken down the line following successful engagement with the advisory group. If I'm not already down as a proposer for the motion, I'll propose it, Chair.
Okay, thanks, Councillor Brown. And it's good to hear people are looking to keep it short. It is a long agenda. So, Councillor Hanlon?
Thanks, Chair. I have a couple of questions for the proposer of the motion. So, Councillor Brown, in the motion you cited that there would be a business case provided. Where is the business case and, you know, who's providing it? Because to me, there's not enough detail there to really make a decision on this motion. Also, you know, like, yeah, we are making progress in terms of community wealth building, but my own view on this is whilst I believe in it and we would support it, that this motion nearly plucks out just one element of it. And as a standalone, I don't know how we would progress it as a council. I also just question how us as a council would actually be setting up a bank. Is that what we're looking to do? And are we looking like for £20 million? Or I'm just not clear on a number of elements of the motion, and I would appreciate maybe if you could clarify.
Okay. Thanks, Councillor Hannon. And apologies, I should have brought in Ken. On the report, if there was anything, Ken, that you wanted to highlight, I know I jumped into the debate. I don't know, Doreen or Ken, if there is anything within the report that you wish to highlight.
Thank you, Chair. The only thing that I would like to stress is that in terms of resource implications, once a business case is presented to Council, as noted in the notice of motion, an assessment will be carried out and a report brought back to committee to consider all implications, including resources.
Okay, perfect. Thanks for that, Ken. Councillor Savage?
Yes, Chair. Well, the SDLP sort of fully supports the spread and ethos of the motion, and we've We fully recognise the importance of mutual, regional and ethical institutions that develop and enhance community wealth building. Like, for example, we have the credit union locally, with the credit union movement on the end of Ireland and beyond, which is probably our best local example. And our party's a proud history of association with that organisation, with our former leader and Nobel laureate John Hume, been a founding member of the credit union movement in Ireland. But sure, it's important that any development of a mutual bank is not only complements the credit union movement, but also creates opportunities to enhance it and create it, and also helps it in relation to its ability to enhance its community wealth building offerings. So while we fully support the ethos and spirit of the motion, I too have concerns, as my party colleagues have, similar to what Councillor Hanlon has outlined. And that's why I believe, Chair, that we need to really interrogate the fine detail of this. I think this is a huge expectation financially to put on the council. While we fully support the ethos of what's been proposed, and there will be huge potential community-based benefits, both from a business and wider perspective, as we come out of COVID, etc. I fully support the ethos behind it. But I believe that, we need to be careful in how we proceed with this. I believe we need to interrogate the fine detail. And that's why, Chair, I would propose that we put forward an amendment tonight, which effectively, if you look at the motion in front of us, I believe we should stop at the word assessment after business plan and remove the rest of the motion for now. The reason being, as outlined, I think we need to have that business plan in front of us to see what we're talking about in relation to the nature of this structure, this financial institution, what its brief is, whether it will be solely on a regional basis, whether there'll be any local aspects to it in relation to being able to secure finance from it, that it won't just purely be our district, for example, funding other projects across other parts of the region. So, you know, I think there's a lot of detail, as Councillor Hanlon has outlined, that we need to interrogate. And that's why I believe that we honour the ethos and spirit of the motion put forward tonight, but I think that we amend the motion where it effectively stops at the word assessment, where that last sentence is, a business case will be provided to council to help carry out this assessment. And I believe we should remove everything from there on, because that's commitment orientated, and I believe we're at no stage in a position to do that based on the detail we have at the moment. So I'm happy to propose that amendment to ensure that the council, as far as supporting the spirit of what Councillor Brown, and I commend him for bringing it forward, that we support that the ethos of what he is proposing, but that we need more detail and we need to interrogate it further, Chair. And I would be proposing that amendment. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Savage. Councillor McKee, you're looking in.
Yeah, on that same subject there, yes, as a party, obviously, you wouldn't really stand in the way of it. The idea is right. The idea would be brilliant if it was maybe not a COVID period of time and funds for Man and Dog, if you like. It's a difficult year for everyone in the financial sector within our council and handling funding. I just wonder, who came up with the idea of 20 million? Is there a reason for 20 million start up? Does it take that 20 million to be able to generate the follow up on that? So I would really be like the last couple of speakers there, really wanting more information, and obviously council will go back and bring forward a report. But we certainly do need a bit of beef in the bones of what we have there. As you say, someone said there's not enough in it there to really base upon what exactly to take a vote or anything on it. So, yeah, I think I would maybe be like the last speaker, I'd be looking, a bit of this amendment on it to cut out pieces here. And if he was going to propose, I'd be certainly in favour of seconding that there. The idea, certainly, if you have plenty of money, I'm just not too sure about the timing. And if we got it brought back to us, then we'll maybe have a better read at it and see exactly where we're going. Thanks, Chair.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Hanlon, I see you're looking back in.
Yeah, just quickly, just something that I missed the first time I spoke. Just to point out that the Minister for Communities has already awarded a community wealth building program. Yes, I do think we should contact the Department of Communities to see where they're at with that and what are the exact plans, because that would form, obviously that could be part of the wider program that's being looked at the minute by the Assembly. So it's just something that I omitted the first time there. So thank you.
Okay, thanks, Anna. Councillor Brown, we haven't got a seconder for your proposal yet. Do we have a seconder for that? Councillor Enright, okay. And on the proposed amendment from Councillor Savage, are you content to accept that amendment?
Yeah, I can come back on some of the points of clarity as well, Chair, just to be helpful, raised by Councillor Hamlin, Savage and others. I think from the wording, it is quite clear there that it's asking for a business case. And if the Northern Mutual is indeed financially and practically viable, as the motion said, then Council would choose to perhaps commit to some of those actions. And it does say some or all. I'm comfortable enough to take Councillor Savage's amendment. However, I do feel that it's probably be easy enough for us to join the advisory board as a way of finding out more about this in preparation of the business case. But if it is really the feeling that we should do the business case, come back in a couple of months whilst in the process engaging with the campaign for the Northern Mutual Bank in order to develop that business case and then revisit the four actions there, I'm happy enough to take that amendment in the interests of getting it through. Just to clarify on some of the issues raised, though, the $20 million is the total cost of the bank's startup right across Northern Ireland, so in no way would Council be asked to put forward the full amount of that, and there's a wide range of stakeholders right across the community, voluntary, public sector, and indeed private sector that the Northern Mutual Bank will be hoping to get for buy-in capital. In terms of community wealth building, it's great that the Department of Communities are bringing forward a strategy on that, and I really hope that it does trickle down to the local level and local councils and local employers take it on board. There are a few key pillars to community wealth building. Social value procurement of services is one of those, and we've already done a motion on that. Another core pillar is co-production and community planning in how you plan services. I think because Council already has a legal responsibility to do that, we sort of have that aspect of community wealth building fairly well covered, although there's always room for improvement. So mutual banking is another core pillar that we haven't really looked at before. So given we've already done a fair bit of things that are related to community wealth building, I thought this was a good way to add in an additional pillar. But maybe we need to look at a motion or a discussion around how we bring all that strategy together, Councillor Hamlin. I think that would be a good idea. And just for a final point of clarity, we wouldn't be setting up the bank ourselves. I think I did clarify that through my comments on the $20 million though. So I'm content to take that, providing we can come back and revisit this at a fairly soon date in the future.
Okay, thanks, Patrick. And Councillor Enright, as the seconder, you're content to accept the amendment as well?
Yes, Chairperson. I know with reference to Scotland, where they've actually gone ahead and created a similar bank a number of years ago, and it's now fielding investments in the hundreds of millions within the Scottish region. Yes, Chairperson.
Thanks, Cadogan. Councillor Hannan, you're looking in for the third time.
Sorry, and I'm not meaning to. I know we're trying to go through a hefty agenda, but it's just, see the advisory group, Councillor Brown, that we're referring to. What exactly is that group, and who joins it? Is it a council official? Is it a councillor? And this is maybe just showing my lack of knowledge on this. So I've Googled it and I can't find it, but maybe that's just, I don't know, maybe it does exist, I'm not sure. And £20 million doesn't seem like an awful lot of money to set up a bank. So I suppose I'm going back to my earlier comments that I just don't feel there's enough detail here. So I do welcome the fact that Councillor Savage has brought the amendment to go back to try and get the finer points on the motion so we can try and progress it if we can.
I sat and watched a webinar today, Councillor Hanlon, from Bridget. I can share that webinar with you around the plan. I think it's a steering group rather than an advisory board that they refer to it as. But I'm just going to bring in Dorina first, Michael, if that's okay, before I bring you in. Dorina?
Sorry, just sort of a point of clarity, Chair, in terms of just, I suppose, expectations. My reading of the notice of motion is that a business case will be provided to Council. Is that correct, that it will be provided by, well, I suppose, who's providing the business case, if I could ask Councillor Brown?
That would be preparing the business case in cooperation with the Northern Mutual campaign. Advisory group, steering group, whatever. It's maybe changed as Bridget did help me draft this motion. So that was actually her wording around the advisory group, Gareth, but I think I watched the same webinar as you did.
So you broke up slightly. Was that the council in cooperation with the group would do the business case, sorry?
Yes, well, I mean, obviously council would be chiefly responsible for it, but we would need to liaise with the campaign to get the full detail and find out more about the campaign.
Okay. All right. I'm looking to you, Dorina, there.
Yeah, sorry, that hadn't been my reading of it. Just when I said a business case will be provided to council, I suppose we would need to consider the resources even to, you know, it's quite a piece of work to do that business case. I suppose we don't actually know what's involved in a detailed business case around that. So I suppose if I could ask councillors if we could go away and consider the resources required to prepare that business case in the first instance.
Okay. So I suppose, Councillor Savage, you're next there. You proposed the amendment stopping at the assessment part, given Dorina's update of resource. I'm asking members, are we content that we take the amended proposal as is, but allow council officers time to assess what the resource implications of that is and bring that back to the next SPNR?
Sure. What I was going to suggest was, because I too had believed that a business case would be provided, because that's what it says in the motion. What I was going to suggest was a business case would be provided to council to carry out this assessment. That sentence has to be subject to a resource assessment. A business case will be provided to council to help carry out this assessment. Might be the way to finish that off at that stage. You know, that's the problem my own party had with this motion, in that there were too many woolly strands to it, in that the detail wasn't there. We've been asked to commit to something fairly significant without the detail. So, you know, I wanted to be true to the ethos and spirit of what Councillor Brown was bringing forward, because our party is a strong supporter of mutual financial institutions. But we want to ensure that we have prudence. We are on the side of prudence in relation to our ratepayers. We have a fiduciary responsibility to them. So if we can agree on a form of words for that last sentence that allows officers to assess the resource need and their role, or the council's role, in any provision of a business case, then maybe we could reword it, amend it accordingly. Because basically, there's an element of making this up as we go along here tonight, in that it isn't saying what it says on the tin. Effectively, the motion, the inference there is that a business case will be provided for an assessment. So it's how we word that last paragraph. But I certainly believe that we should cut the motion off at the word assessment. It's a case of how we word that last sentence. If maybe Dorina could advise on what she believes would be prudent.
Just before I bring Dorina, it feels, members, that the clarity around the motion isn't there, and it may be more prudent of us and the proposers of both the main and the amendment to withdraw and to allow officers time now that clarity's been given to go away, review the resource implications of preparing this business case in cooperation with Bridget and the advisory group or working steering group, whatever you want to call it, and then bring this back. If members would be more content with that approach, because it feels, as Drina says, the officer's expectations was a business case would be provided, but now it's saying that we would need the council officers to be involved in preparing it. So I suppose to Councillor Brown, Councillor Savage, given the conversation, the debate that's happened, would both of you be happy to withdraw your proposals? A new proposal be that the officers would go away, review the resource implications of preparing this business case in cooperation with the group, and then we can discuss the way forward in next month's SPNR, and we can move what we wish within the motion that's been detailed today. Councillor Brown?
Chair, I think, yeah, broadly I can agree with what you've just said in terms of the actions coming out of this, but I think it's important that we don't withdraw, you know, the first paragraph there, which I think everybody is on board with in terms of the values of the motion. So we're basically passing our commitment to, you know, Northern Mutual Bank, community wealth building strategy, etc., and we are then going away and looking at it and discussing it later in terms of actions to come out of it.
Okay. So on that then, so what... And I'm looking at Councillor Savage here. So we'll put it to the wealth building strategy and then say, and officers to review the resource implications of preparing a business case. Would both be okay with that?
Chair, I was happy. The last line to me after wealth building strategy was the important element of this, as long as it didn't meander off into... be below that in the detail of the motion. So I'm happy with that wording as the last paragraph, because I'm conscious of the fact that, you know, the council should be supportive of the idea and the concept of this, and I think that we, you know, it's been put in front of us tonight, and we should be sending out a message to people that we are supportive of mutual institutions, but, you know, we have to be prudent as well. So I'm happy enough with the wording that you've suggested.
Okay, all right. And I suppose, Councillor Brown, it leaves the main body of the motion as is, but we're allowing officers time to go off and review the resource implications of preparing the business case. Okay. And you're content with that, Councillor Brown?
Yep, that's grand, Chair. Thanks.
All right. Councillor Byrne, you still the queue there. Do you wish to come in or...?
Yeah, Chair, I had the queue up before you actually touched on that, which I agree with, but again, I'm slightly even more confused now because I don't want to be part of sending the councillors off on ask them to carry out a task that they're not clear of, or sorry, the council officers, and you ask them to review the resources and the implications of preparing a business case. All we have here is the 20 million startup capital, of which we were told is right across the north. So we need to know exactly what the startup capital, if it's going to be district wide. Is it people that's just involved in the district? Is it something that should be tabled at Solus by all the chief executives to see if other councils are on board? You know, is Newry, Mourne and Down going to be the lead partner in the business case that will be rolled out across all other councils? I mean, it's a huge piece of work in the midst of a pandemic to go away and do that. And I nearly think we're given next to no information of what we expect officers to come back with. I think the initial conversation should be with the advisory group to see what the implications resource-wise for this district, because we've mixed up district-wide and something that our council has ownership of with a 20 million capital right across the north. I mean, there's too many blurred lines, so we need to get clarity of what the council officers are going to wait to look at to bring back, because there's no point in starting to discuss a business case on something that is mixed up with, you know, national figures. So I think a conversation with the advisory group first and foremost before going near the business case, because we need to know what we're asking here.
Okay. I see the chief executive wishes to come in.
Yeah, Chair. Apologies just for coming in on this item. I think the understanding of the tone of the motion has changed when it became that the council was doing the business case. I would have concerns just around anything that we would be supporting in this until we understand the legal barriers that we would have to actually support the basis of the mutual bank in itself, and then indeed to look towards the resource. You know, so it may be preferable that the council could agree to us taking that away, give that consideration, considering the change in the tone of the motion, and bring it back next month.
Yep.
Okay. Councillor Savage, you've another key in. I didn't expect this one to.
No, neither did I, Chair. But then, you know, as Marie has said, the tone of the motion and detail of the motion changed. And certainly, you know, I agree with Councillor Byrne in that maybe the next step is for our staff to engage with the advisory group and sort of tease this one out and come back with a more detailed agreed motion potentially. I think there's a mutual agreement across the chamber that we want to go down. We want to support something of this nature, but the devil's in the detail, and we don't have it. And I think it would be prudent to potentially put it back to next month, and commit to something that we know the level of commitment is going to be involved. And I agree with Councillor Byrne that maybe the best thing to do would be for engagement for the advisory group with our senior officials, so we know the size and scale of what we're looking at.
Okay, Councillor Hanlon, I've lost count now how many times you've been in.
Okay, it's just to endorse what everyone's saying. There is broad agreement for this. There's no doubt about it. But unfortunately, just the way the motion has been presented, it leaves so many questions and gaps, and especially not least the fact that there's a monetary value being put on it, and the resource implications of it. So, you know, I do think if Councillor Brown could sort of just hold off and let the officers work out what exactly we're going to be able to do and what means we have to do it. And I do agree with engaging with the advisory group. And I would say again, engage with the department to see what they're doing, because as somebody, I can't remember now, there's been so many people come in, but I think it was Councillor Byrne said, you know, maybe this is an issue for Solus, that it could be something that could be brought across all councils. You know, so it's just to kind of endorse the fact that I think it would be prudent to wait the next month and give it more time rather than to rush it through and maybe let it fall and whenever we're all broadly supportive of it.
Okay. And members, it may be my reading, but of the reading of the main body of the text, it's not saying that we're committing to anything. It states that we recognise the need for greater resilience, you know, in seeking solutions, the council agrees to assess the financial and practical viability of it. So it's not that we're endorsing it. We're saying we do need that greater resilience. It may be a viable option. And what we've now added at the end in removing after the strategy is that officers review the resource implications of preparing a business case and the legalities around such an arrangement. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, and I think the Chief Executive can correct me, but I think it doesn't go against any concerns that she has certainly raised either. Okay.
Apologies, Chair. I was going between two screens there. I was trying to look at the wording. I think it's just because the tone changed to the council doing the business case, it means the council becomes involved. I know we'd be looking at the resource even for doing that. But, you know, it's for council to decide. But the first sentence is probably fine in saying that you're supporting it. And then I think the remainder, we need to look at it. Because even down to us assessing the financial and practical viability of the Northern Mutual Bank, I don't know if that's for a council to do. You know, we would need to check the legal barriers of those things, and then indeed the business case, how that would be done resource-wise as well.
Okay. So I suppose we're back to where I had been. And Harold, I do see your cue, but I'm just trying to get clarity on the direction that we go here. As I had asked the proposer in the proposed amendment if they wished to withdraw to allow officers the time to go away and review and assess this. We're not saying no to it. We're asking for clarity and information to be brought back to the next SPNR, where we will have all that information and council officers have had time to assess all they need to assess. So I would ask Councillor Brown, if you're content to withdraw, to allow officers that time to review and bring that information back.
Right, yeah, okay, Chair, I'm fine. I'm keen to move on here. I think, as I said about 15 minutes ago or more, the key thing here is that we go and engage with the Northern Mutual Bank. I am certainly not a banker. I agree with the ethos of this, as I think most other people here do, but we do need to get more details, so I fully appreciate that. Thank everyone for their contributions, and thank you for summing up, Chair.
Okay, all right. Councillor McKee, are you happy enough, or were you...
No, it was just the same on the same subject, and I agree with a lot said there lately, and yourself, but Chairman, I think to me it's a very heavy piece of work for whenever you hear a financial director sort of wondering where this should be coming from, where's the business case. I think there's a lot of work been done, and to be honest, to get that right, I wouldn't even go as far as to say we should rush it, even for the next meeting, if it's a case of rushing it, to get information for it, because I think there's a lot of discussion to be had with people across the province to get this right, and should it even go into the following month? To me, yes, get the detail, and then we can talk about it, but at the minute, there's just, to me, there's not enough there to make any decision on it. That's all I'm saying. Chairman, thank you.
Okay, all right. Okay, folks, I think we've brought agreement now that we are allowing officers time to go away to review the resource implication and the legalities of the Northern Mutual Bank. I believe we do have proposed in Secretary. I'm looking to Sarah to that. There was plenty of proposed in seconders in there somewhere, Sarah.
I think the proposal was from Patrick and seconded then by Cadogan.
Yes. And is everyone in agreement?
The amendments then were accepted by Patrick and Cadogan.
Yes. Okay. Everyone's content? Yep. All right. Okay, folks, moving on then. Item 7 is the scheme of allowances for 2020-21, and that's you, Sarah.
It is, yeah. Thanks, Chair. Hopefully I will be a bit quicker. And if members are happy to take the report as read, really I'm just looking for approval of the updated scheme of allowances as outlined within the report. And then if it's approved, it'll just go up onto the Council's website.
Okay. Any questions? Just our proposer and seconder members. Okay. Proposed by Councillor Enright. Is that a question that you have?
I've been paying my own broadband for about 10 years. When does the rule come in that you can start claiming the broadband?
You can backdate it to April 2020.
Okay.
But not before that.
All right. Proposed by Councillor Lewis, seconded by Councillor Byrne. Everyone in agreement? Yep. Okay. Moving on then is the schedule of meetings. Is that yourself again, Sarah?
Yes, yeah. Thanks, Chair. Basically, just as outlined within the report, the schedule of meetings from May 2021 to June 2022. There's just a few changes on it with regard to some of the dates that would have to change, and it's just outlined them within the report, so it's just to agree them.
Okay. A proposal from Councillor McGuinness. Do we have a seconder? Seconded by Councillor Hanlon. Okay. Everyone's in agreement? Yep, all right. Items 9 or 10 are for Newton, unless anyone has any questions. I'm going to take that as a no. Okay, the following items are deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act Northern Ireland 2014. Information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the council that holding that information, and the public may by resolution be excluded during the items of business. Any proposer and seconder, please, to go into committee. proposed by Councillor Howell and seconded by Councillor Hanlon. Okay, so we'll go into closed session. Just wait for Sir Linda to give me the nod. Keep me right to make sure I'm saying the right people and the right things. All right, we good to go, sir?
Yeah, we've got one member present.
Okay. All right. So let me just get this up. Let's just so I have it all ready. Okay, so just while we were in committee, the following items were discussed. So item 11, tender for occupational health services. Agreed on the proposal of Councillor Howell, seconded by Councillor McGuinness. It was agreed to approve the request to invite tenders for occupational health services for a two-year period with the option to extend twice by mutual agreement for a total of 4 years at an anticipated cost as outlined in the officer's report. Item 12, easement over council lands at Glen Hill, Watson Road, Newry. Agreed on the proposal of Councillor Murphy, seconded by Councillor Savage. The elected members approved the grant of an easement at Watson's Road, Glen Hill, on the following conditions. Payment of the market value for the grant of the easement as assessed by council's appointed valuer together with reasonable valuation and legal costs. Agree. Item 13, the Boot House, Warren Point. Agreed on the proposal of Councillor Howell, seconded by Councillor McGuinness. The elected members agreed to move forward with option 3 listed in the officer's report. To council renews the lease of the Boot House with the Hall Estate for a further 5-year term at a market rental value agreed by council's valuer, and then sublet the Boot House to the Carnford Lock Curl Club for peppercorn rent subject to departmental approval. The Carnford Lock Club to be responsible for council's valuation fees. Item 14, legal advice on traditional review challenge against South Eastern Health Trust. Agreed on the proposal of Councillor Sharvin, seconded by Councillor Hanlon, to send this detail to the Health Working Group and that council write to the Trust highlighting the concerns as outlined in the officer's report and seeking confirmation as to review mechanisms in place and the timescale for revisiting these decisions. Item 15, surplus assets update. Agreed on the proposal of Councillor Murray, seconded by Councillor Savage. The elected members note the content of the report and attach Appendix A to D. Members agreed to approve the following: 5 Ballynew Road, Downpatrick, having secured outland plan and approval for 4 housing units, obtain an updated valuation of the asset and recommence deep discussions with the Northern Ireland Housing Executive for associated disposal for housing social housing provision. Lands at the former Station Road Play Area, 72 Station Avenue, Castlewellan, to add to the surplus asset register and retain the asset in council ownership until after the review for the new area plan has concluded. Lands at the former play area at Lat Phyllis, Lat Road, Newry, to add to the surplus asset register and commence the D1 process, subject to confirmation from our legal department that there are no restrictions preventing its disposal with the valuation of asset to be undertaken. Lands at Lismore Park Playing Fields, Cross Midlain, to extend the deadline of the closure of the D1 process by 4 months to the 11th of June 2021 to enable the Cross Midlain Rangers and DTNA to undertake the feasibility studies and submit a business plan to council. Town Hall, Newry Street, Kilkeel, to extend the deadline of the closure of the D1 process by 1 month to the 8th of April 2021 to enable the KDA and DTNI to complete the feasibility studies and submit their business plan to council. Item 16, the PHA COVID-19 testing facility at Albert Basin, Newry. Agreed on the proposal of Councillor Murphy, seconded by Councillor McGuinness. The elected members consider the content of the report and approve the following: not to trigger the termination clause within the lease agreement with PHA after the initial 3 months, 31st of March 2021, and that the lease remains in place for the 6-month period up until the 20th or 30th of June 2021, officers to continue to liaise with the PHA and monitor the demand for the testing facility with a further report to the SPNR committee to prior to the end of the 6-month lease period if a further period is requested by the PHA. Item 17, NICTS short-term accommodation request. Agreed on the proposal of Councillor Savage, seconded by Councillor Murphy, that elected members note the content of the report and approve the following. The Sean Hollywood Arts Centre to be considered for short-term accommodation for the NICTS to undertake the selection of jury panels during identified dates during April and May 2021, 3 days each month. Officers to proceed to commence negotiations with NICTS on the associated legal agreement between both parties. A further report to be brought back to the SPNR in late summer 2021 if there is need to extend the legal agreement after the summer recess. This would only be considered if the current COVID restrictions remain in place. Item 18, OBC consultation public survey questionnaire. Agreed on the proposal of Councillor Savage, seconded by Councillor Murphy, that elected members consider the contents of the report and approve the public survey questionnaire for use to include the features question replaced with a numeric scale 1 to 5 with respondents asked to rank how they view the importance of each feature. The benefits question to be replaced by a scale with respondents ranking the extent to which they agree or disagree with each benefit. Budgets cost be inserted for each project with those grant funded identified as such, each of the projects to be ranked in order of preference. The term Civic Hub to be changed to Civic Hub / Council Offices. Responses also invited in letter form by email and post. Items 19 was for Noden, Strategic Finance Working Group Action Sheet, the 4th of February 2021. It was agreed to note the contents of the report. And item 20, Management Accounts to the 31st of December 2020. It was agreed to note the contents of the report. All right, members, it's been a long night. Thank you very much for your contributions and patience, and enjoy what is left of your evening. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, Chair.
Thank you.
So, anyway.